You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hello, gentle listener. While Geek.io holds its talent to the highest standards, what follows will likely involve the sort of language usually reserved for sailors on leave. If you're of a delicate disposition, then perhaps you would consider a different...
Spoilers.
Here on S4, we like to spoil you rotten. And as such, we take an in-depth look at the shows we cover, potentially spoiling any plot points up to and including the episode featured. If you haven't watched what we're discussing this week, and spoilers are an issue for you, you may want to come back later.
That is indeed true, friends. Welcome back to the Small Screen Spoiler Show! Episode number 67, y'all! I am... CJ, you got some real James Bond stuff. But guy over there, of course, is Jared. Chuck's bullshit vendetta as a veto.
I don't have any vendetta.
You have Chuck's
bullshit. I'm not going to try to entrap you.
Oh, boy.
Pretty sure that was entrapment.
Yeah.
Could have been wrong.
That's absolutely entrapment.
I don't think that holds up in court. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it does not. It does not whatsoever. None of what Chuck is doing is going to hold up in court. But we'll talk about that here in a couple of seconds. Of course, third chair is always occupied by his mighty etherealness. Daryl, hang over with bees. Shaler.
Bzzz.
Sounds like my microphone when it's going weird. Oh, boy. All right. What are we talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 4, Episode 19, All the Madam's Men. Better Call Saul, Season 3, Episode 2, Witness, and Season 3, Episode 3, Sunk Costs.
Yes, indeed.
Lots of S sounds.
Yeah. Aren't you glad that you have some kind of pop-reducing majigger?
I mean, I've got a little bit of a filter on the mic itself, but my old pop screen is gone. It kept falling down. I got annoyed by it. It didn't seem to help that much, but I was probably doing it wrong.
That's the reason why I don't have this one, because I was dealing with Budlong constantly yelling that I was using it incorrectly. So I'm just like, you know what? F it. I have a Heil. I have some pop resistance. All right. But enough about that. Let's go ahead and real quick take a break from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. And we are back. Thank you for hanging out with us, having some technical issues this evening. I apologize, but you guys listening to this on the audio podcast won't notice anything, because I do editing on some shows. If you want to hang out and listen to us argue with things and talk to us without us talking about the shows we're talking about, join us live. Mondays, usually. That's when the audio works. 10 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/geekioshow. Today, because I was sick. Sorry. All right. Are we ready to discuss the agents?
Yes.
Wait, where's VLC? Where'd VLC go? Fuck! Some shield. If it loads like four times, I'm going to be pissed.
Agents of May, all the Mayday's men, because May is back to being good and kicking ass, and that's awesome. And also Mayday, May, ad-libbed, because I got bored of saying the name wrong. Quake's back this week, with Terrigen confirmed to have healing properties, because of course it did. During their escape, we learned that if they ever do rebuild the Triskelion in the real world, you should definitely take the stairs. Let's just say that Madam Hydra takes the lift and falls hard for the Quake and May ship. The rest of the plot basically revolves around getting our team in the same room again, and letting the audience know what the Big Bad's big bad plan is. Namely, making a big weapon that had me screaming, "It's a doomsday machine built inside a simulation! You don't push the crystal into the experiment while playing Half-Life and have a fucking alien portal open up in the real world! Of course she's using Fitz's romantic superbrain to design it so she can build it in the real world, but I liked the rant. On the subject of video game annoyances, we have the lack of bullet penetration on ballistics and the fact that Hydra soldiers are clearly playing on easy mode, where a single shot to the leg results in insta-kill. We can also point out that Mac and Tripp are together and ask which one's gonna die. The last thing I'll say is that the bittersweet alternate facts of Hydra Fox News has a picture of Bill Paxton alongside praise for his heroic deeds, and I found that kinda nice.
It was nice. You don't have your thingy up. I can't put mine up because I don't have XSplit. But, you know.
There.
Make Daryl happy.
My thingy's up.
There you go.
There you go, Daryl. Thingy's up for you.
Thingy's up for you.
Just for you. Yeah, so that's not wrong. Again, all right, we're just going to move on because he got all my notes.
I've got one more note to add to it.
No, this
I really enjoyed this episode. It was great. It made me realize how much I've missed Trip.
Yes.
I didn't realize how much I've missed Trip, but man, I've missed Trip. It's great having him back.
It is.
And this episode tried really, really hard to make me like Ward again. It tried.
It
really
tried
hard,
so hard.
But it did not work.
It almost worked. It was almost there.
No, no, I never felt it. Like, there was this big emotional scene. It's like, yeah, yeah, and I see what you're trying to do, Show, but it's not going to work on me. I still hate Grey Ward.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Brett Dalton. Brett Dalton is still, you know, just a stupid, handsome face is still there. It's still stupid, and it's still handsome.
Stupid, handsome face. Still there. At least we got Trip.
Yeah, Trip and his stupid, handsome face. It's fantastic seeing those two together again. And I sincerely hope
all the
they don't.
People we forgot about.
Don't forget. Don't kill Mac.
Because, huh?
Don't kill Mac.
No, they can't kill Mac. Don't even say that out loud. But we got Bakshi back.
Yeah.
Because I'd forgotten about him. I was like, oh, hey, isn't that guy?
Yeah.
Like, welcome to the Bakshi Show. Oh, yeah, Bakshi, that's his name. I forgot about him.
Yeah. So, because I even put in here, man, even Ward isn't unbearable in this episode.
Yeah, but he wasn't in this episode too much. I think that's...
Yeah, there's a line. There's an absolute line of too much Ward.
They just brought him in for a few moments, tried to make me feel sorry for him.
Yeah, like I said,
well,
kind of...
You're an NPC, number one, and you're still Grant Ward's face, and I hate you. So, I'm sorry.
Damn you, Rob Dalton and Brett Dalton. God damn it.
Which...
I believe I did it again. Drink!
Drink.
Hold on. This episode was really good. I really enjoyed this episode.
I had a good time with it.
We had
great moments.
We had the connection of the fact that, hey, and Coulson speaking, you know, saying the same thing that most of us were thinking. It's like, yeah, maybe we actually have to finish this video game before we can actually escape from the video game.
Yes. You have to win here to win there.
Because that's how those tropes work. If you are trapped inside of a video game, you have to finish that video game before you can get back into the real world. That's how it always works. We had 10 viewers on Twitch. Hello.
Hi. I hope you weren't here for all the crappy, terrible...
No, I was offline for most of that because my freaking thing was disconnecting all the time.
Hey, it's working now.
This is why you shouldn't bring your parents to... This is why you shouldn't work with your parents, Fitz. Though he stood up to his dad, man. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I do what I want. Basically. You do what you want. I'm the head of Hydra now, which is all wrong. Fitz is not supposed to be the head of Hydra.
Yeah, right.
I hate this world.
Stupid world and its stupidness and... Hey, Trip's
this world
back.
Is dumb. I want it to go away.
Trip's back. Though
we do get Trip.
And
that makes it a little better.
Speaking of Daddy Fitz and Godcliff, it would be it would really suck for God to die to an NPC.
Yeah, fine. Beat the crap out of me. We're both just bits of code at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's honest though. He has really nothing left to lose, man. He has literally nothing.
Yeah. I'm dead in the outside world. You've destroyed everything that was good to me.
Yeah,
here.
The one thing in here that I gave a shit about is dead. So, yeah, I'm pretty much done, and I'm going to help them try and kill you because you're dicks.
But they're playing that NPC thing pretty hard. Like, they're just straight up shooting them in the face all over the place.
Oh, yeah, man.
It ain't no thing. Like, okay. Not using icers anymore.
Nope.
People.
Fop, fop, fop.
Real guns.
Yeah.
All shot dead. Luckily, they're just NPCs, so it's fine, right?
Yeah. Or something. I mean, Iron Fist might have something to say about that, but...
Even the NPCs have feelings.
Yes. I mean, this is not true. This is not untrue. You're not wrong. All right. So, yes, we get it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is written by a bunch of liberals. I understand, me being one myself. Cool with that. However, I'm getting a little tired of it. Getting a little sick of the apps. Just that fourth wall breaking of, yeah, we understand. You hate Trump. I'm not a fan of him myself. But I'm getting a little tired of it in my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't want to think about Trump while I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. I watch TV as an escape mechanism. I don't want to deal with this while I'm watching television.
Make Hydra great again.
Yeah. I mean, they're at this point not even hiding it. Like, it's annoying. It's just kind of annoying.
But hey, we're getting the Scooby Gang all back together.
Yeah. Scooby Gang, minus Fitz.
Except for minus Fitz. And she's got to come around at some point.
Yeah, but he's going to end up... Something bad's going to happen. Something real bad's going to happen to Fitz, and that's going to make him break out of the thing, and then I just don't know what that something bad is, and I hope it's not what I fear it is.
Yeah.
Because this show likes to fuck with Fitzsimmons.
Stop it. You stop it. Leave my Fitzsimmons alone. And where is frickin' the... Ghost Rider. Phew. I almost said Knight Rider. I had to, like...
I sneezed it out of you. I sneezed the Knight Rider out. According to some spoilers that I saw online, he's not gone, so we're getting him back. I just don't know when or how, but yeah, thanks to, like, I think it was like Gizmodo or something like that on their thing. It's like, hey, Ghost Rider's not done in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Click here. I'm like, I'm not clicking that.
Don't you spoil me. I spoil things.
Exactly. I'm the one who spoils. I mean, I didn't take many notes on this one because, like, it was actually a pretty good episode. I was actually really interested in watching it.
Yeah. My only other notes are Nifty Gun, which I don't remember what I was talking about.
Nifty Gun!
That's a nifty gun. I don't know what gun that was, though, so I guess it didn't stick with me too much.
Yeah, it was nifty-ish.
So the secret base is...
The base.
The base. I should have... Probably should have guessed that.
Yeah. Why didn't you just come there to the first place, Daisy? Though, one thing that kind of bothered me, did Ward actually get told to call Daisy Daisy? Or is he just being like, did he just randomly start calling her that in this episode? Because I'm fairly sure last time it was
like
Sky.
His Sky or whatever. She's, you know, Daisy.
Yeah, but when did that knowledge ever, like, go over? Like, when did he stop calling her Sky and start calling her Daisy?
I feel like there was a conversation somewhere. Or maybe it happened off screen. Who knows?
Maybe knowing S.H.I.E.L.D., it probably happened off screen.
I feel vaguely. I have like a vague recollection of like Simmons and Ward talking about her being named Daisy and not Sky, but
yeah, possible.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you.
True Nature. That was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Max the Protector. May always questioning things. Coulson the leader.
Yeah. Back to true form.
Like, no matter how what she programmed into their brains, their true nature always comes forth.
May the cavalry.
Some foreshadowing for our Fitz.
Yeah.
Yeah, the romantic. That's right. She says Fitz the romantic.
Yeah, here's to hoping.
She's using him to make her magic machine.
Yeah.
So she can be a real girl.
I don't know. I'm actually interested to see how this ends.
Me too.
I'm a hell of a lot more interested in this season finale than I was in last season when we had to deal with the whole Hive bullshit.
Yes, that too. Though, Radcliffe calling him Hive was pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh,
crap, Hive.
Hive. Wait, no, what? I haven't met this one yet.
Oh, you're the guy before. I never met you. Okay, never mind. What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, Radcliffe's actually pretty good in this one. I just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm very, very interested to see if this pays off as well as I hope it will. I don't know if it will or not. But yeah, the main string is trying to tie, which S.H.I.E.L.D. tries to do most of the time, is tie into the first half of the season. So we're going to get like two episodes of Darkholm wrap up and then Ghost Rider probably coming back to kick butt.
Ghost Rider coming back and melting Ada.
Yeah, that would be nice. The poor Ada. She's so pretty.
She does have that going for her.
Yeah, but you know.
Even when she's thrown out of like the 20th story and smashed onto the concrete.
Yeah, she's kind of evil. So, you know, I'm still good with her dying, but she's very pretty. She's a good actress. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's a bit of a chameleon. And then the only other note I have is, heck yeah, I enjoyed the last, like, little hurrah thing.
Coulson
getting on TV and doing his thing. And
oh, yeah, they want to help us. Oh. Yeah, I didn't get to see the after-credits stinger, unless that was it, or the after-fwomp stinger that they do.
That was the machine being complete, I think. And
oh, yeah, I didn't.
What's his face wanting to kill Coulson so bad?
The DVR cut off on me.
Yeah. It was just back at the lab.
Ah.
She's completed her machine. She's like, and then once you do this, your restrictions will be removed. She's like, yes, mine too. Like, good. I really want to put a knife in Coulson's neck. Real bad.
Yeah. So I missed that one. That's what I was going to ask you about. The DVR recording that I had cut off after the thing. All right. Good job, S.H.I.E.L.D. Way to drag us back to something that I really hated 3 episodes ago.
Yeah, so they raised the stakes. We got a time crunch now because Ada's building her human body, and as soon as that's done, well, sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
So make sure you get out before then.
Exactly.
TikTok, people, TikTok.
All right, so shall we move into Better Call Saul, I guess?
Yes. Let's talk about the greatest show on television right now.
Better fuck Chuck. Witnesses. Chuck sets up witnesses for a sting operation against his brother. Mike witnesses the collection route of the car he's now tracking. Jimmy witnesses Gus collecting drug money in his floor sweeper, but doesn't realize it. It's all amazing television, really, even if we are reminded that the greatest enemy Jimmy has is himself, and it's the one character he can't get rid of. Really, though, I just want to go back and watch that tilt-shifted shot again. It was simply beautiful, even if the illusion gets broken partway through.
Alright, I loved everything about this episode, and everything is good and great, and the internet is alright, and we're gonna move on now, right? Alright, bye.
One note on the tilt-shift shot. It wasn't actually a tilt-shift shot. It was two shots composited together.
Correct. So, alright. Facade over. I really liked this episode.
Oh, shoot. It's like, man, I'm going to have to come out swinging, dude, because I don't know what is wrong with you.
No, I really like this one. This episode was like 1,000 times better than the last episode. Like, I really, really like this one. It was a good romp, reminded me what Better Call Saul was supposed to be, and just the Gilligan effect was still there, still like it, but it was used correctly and not half of the episode.
Well, I guess Vince Gilligan had to warm up and get back into things. He was directing two episodes at a time, so maybe he was just tired.
Maybe.
The first episode.
Maybe, yeah, it was though early. It was early, he didn't get his sweet tea
really
yet.
Enjoyed the first episode. Even if you didn't.
Yeah, I guess. All right, so yeah, I watched this episode. I liked this episode enough that I only wrote down four things. One, two, three, four things. And one of them was, man, this episode is like 10,000 times better than the last one.
I wrote many more things than that. First one was Tea Kettle. Because I was that supposed to be remind you of the Tea Kettle from, what was it, season four of Breaking Bad? When...
All of this was supposed to remind
Jesse
you of...
Shoots, yeah, when Jesse shoots poor Gail, Gabe. What's his name? Gail.
Yeah, all of this was supposed to remind you of the beginning and everything up to the end of... Or, like, the beginning of the Gus arc in Breaking Bad. And, yeah, they were kind of heavy-handed with that. Be like, hey, guys, remember Breaking Bad. Remember Breaking Bad was good. You remember you like Gus, right? You like Gus. You like the things that happened around Gus, right? Here you go. Remember.
Yeah, no, like, part of me wonders how enjoyable this episode is if you never watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, would you still enjoy this episode? Because there's so many things of them just, like, the tension there is because you have context for these shots.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, where it slowly pans back. And when he's staking out and it's the Los Pollos Hermanos sign, I'm like, oh, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
It's finally time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jimmy's doing his stakeout and, you know, it's close up on Jimmy and you can see Gus blurred out in the background moving around, like sweeping up tables. And you're just like, and then they never show his face. I'm like, oh, okay, that was awesome.
Yeah, but it was really, really good.
It's like, but none of that would work if you didn't know who Gus was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if it would be enjoyable or not. I don't watch it with Rachel. She has no interest in watching this show. So, at this point, yeah, they have broke bad. Like, this is, I mean, just like in when Gus was introduced with them breaking bad, full break bad in the Breaking Bad show. Yeah, man, the evil man is back.
No doubt. Man, Chuck.
Seriously, fuck Chuck. Like... Seriously,
you
you're the worst.
The recording thing doesn't hold up in court because you can't record somebody without their prior knowledge and use that against them. It's not fair. And then this whole other thing, I'm pretty sure is entrapment.
It is. It
I could
is.
Be wrong.
It's absolutely. And once I have
think
a feeling
it works that way either. So
I have a feeling that because all right, in New Mexico, I'm not 100% on this one, but I think if you have a criminal record, you are not allowed to practice law anymore, and he's still practicing law in Breaking Bad. So I have a feeling that he is going to do his Jimmy thing and spinning it, but the fact that he's been in court or he's been in jail, that's where his you need a criminal attorney is going to come into play.
Yeah, or maybe that's why he has to change his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a new player.
Possibly. But yeah, it's gonna be hard to have a show about Saul Goodman if he's in jail. Like it's next episode. Never mind. I gotta stop watching shows back to back.
I don't know. Gotta remember what all happened in this episode because I watched it over a week ago. I enjoyed the poor man's Tarantino. What was that guy about?
Yeah,
staking out with Chuck.
Yes.
What is this? Oh, he's the witness. He's the title character.
Yeah. I love the secretary receptionist lady. I love her so much.
Yes. Jeez. Francesca. See, I said that's what I said last episode. I was like, I wonder if Francesca's going to turn it around for
you. She absolutely does. Like, she is just brilliant.
Though I have to wonder what happens to her because she's so chipper and you know, go get him in this, you know, and in Breaking Bad she was not.
Yeah.
Her spirit was very broken by the time Breaking Bad happened. So.
Yeah, man. It was
so. Yeah, Francesca was
great.
Amazing.
So great.
She was a.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I know I'm going to hear from Daryl. I don't know what, like, everything was in the last episode. Just, I don't. It might have been my mental state at the time. I don't know. But, man, just this episode I loved so much. And spoiler alert, I loved 3 too.
You better have loved 3.
Oh, 3 was brilliant.
And then Mike calling Francesca. So we get Mike and Francesca together.
Yeah.
Like, bring up Cracker Barrel. Like, Cracker Barrel, that's real good. Like, oh, this stuff is working on him. Okay, well, I'll just have him call you back, Mr. Ehrman Trout. How do you spell that? Like, you know what? I'm going to take that one. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for crushing her spirit on the first day.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah, I just...
The DMV versus the MVD in Arizona.
Yeah.
Which apparently the reason they put that whole conversation in there was because in Breaking Bad, Saul Goodman talks about the DMV in Arizona, but in Arizona it's the MVD, and like a bunch of people like wrote in and complained about it. So they made up that whole scene just to explain why he refuses to call it the MVD.
I just... That's the one issue that it's kind of always, I mean, even like all through this, I love Better Call Saul. It is, except for last episode, it is like a lot of hand waving towards Breaking Bad. And I understand it. I understand why it needs to be there because these are characters that you didn't have any backstory for. And I get it. They were lovable, great characters, but it's just kind of hand wavy and that's tedious
yeah,
sometimes.
It can be sometimes. Well, I'm just so excited to have Gus back. I don't even care.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And in this episode,
wave that hand all you want.
Yeah.
Gus and all of his little henchmen. I'm happy to see them again. Just like I was happy to see Trip again.
Yeah. How long until we get what's his name? Hotel dude.
Huel.
Yeah, Huel. How long until we get Huel?
Man, I can't wait till Huel shows.
Oh my god, I'm so excited to see Huel.
He's got to show up, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's going to kill Chuck. Because you know Chuck's not going to live. Like, it's kind of...
No.
He's not
like,
making
I'm
it out
I'm willing to put money down that Chuck's not going to survive this season.
Yeah. That would... Yeah. I think BCS already got picked up for season 4.
I'm sure it did.
Season 4... I think it did. Fairly sure I got that renewed for 3rd season. Not yet. But that's not saying anything because it didn't. Oh no! Better Call Saul season three got picked up in March of last year. I don't know. Maybe we're only getting 3 seasons.
Yeah, I doubt that. Ernie. Oh, Ernie, you're so sweet.
Yeah, he is.
Poor Ernie played like a pawn in Chuck's evil game.
Evil game. Damn you, Chuck.
And then after he did the paint thing and he was rolling the tape on the paint, I was like, oh, that's a nice touch. He's rolling the tape like Chuck showed him. Oh, God, I love the show. Then he rips it off. It's like, okay, they pointed it out.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would just let it be subtle and not point it out, but then they did.
Yeah, and that's something that like BCS kind of has against it, too, is, yeah, it is. It will do those subtle things and then kind of break the subtlety real quick. Oh, you're popular tonight. Do-do-do-do.
That's actually Katie's phone.
Oh, Katie's popular tonight. Do-do-do-do.
She is popular tonight. She must have got on a mass text.
My mass text.
Why'd you lie to Kim? Why'd you lie to Kim, Chuck? Or Jimmy?
Be good to Kim. It's not that hard. She is the best thing in your life. Just
don't lie to her.
Stop.
She knows you're lying. Don't tell her you're fine. She knows you're not.
Just stop.
And then go rage at Chuck.
Be good for Kim. Though, yeah, Chuck did set him up playing like a fiddle. Like, but then again, they call that out in episode 3. But yeah, like... Man, Chuck did kind of masterwork that one, but yeah, it's absolutely entrapment because of it being masterwork. He knew that that's textbook. You know somebody's going to react this way, and at that point, that's when you're going to push charges on them because that's the only way you can actually get them. Yeah, that is 1,000% entrapment.
So Harold doing backyard parkour.
It was a weird.
Fun.
Yeah, fun, but weird.
It was totally weird, but I was like, what is happening? Why is this happening?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, I don't have much else for episode two. I really won't talk about episode three.
Only note I have left is the show is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is once it's done back to how it's normally done. So, yeah. All right. So, how much you want to bet Daryl's going to yell at me because he thinks so, because I bullshitted you guys in Slack that he's going to yell at me in his intro for episode three?
Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out. Daryl, what you got for me here? Where'd my thing go? Where'd it go? Damn it!
No, I'll tell a fun story while CJ loads that up.
All right.
So I was listening to the Better Call Saul podcast because I'm a nerd. And Vince Gilligan was on there, and he was talking about they were scouting out doing shoots at the Pollos, Los Pollos Hermanos location. The real place is called Twisters, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was there shooting some stuff, and all of a sudden this RV pulls up, and it's the exact make and model of the RV from Breaking Bad. He's like, holy crap, that's cool. It's like a random that you would just run into one of these in a random place like this while I'm looking for shots for Better Call Saul. And the door opened up and like 15 people poured out of it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, oh, crap, it's a Breaking Bad tour. he ran out the side of the building before they saw him because,
Yeah.
He didn't want spoilers.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Like, wait, what's he doing at the Pollos Hermanos location?
Yeah, another.
So I just, like, oh, crap, ran out the back door, dove into his van and drove away.
I'm going to let him get me. All right, here we go. Got it.
I've got to get these anymore.
All right, dude.
Oh, shit.
Better Call Saul, sunk costs. So we open with an age where no one talks. There's just some shoes on a phone line, and I'm already bored. No one talks. And, oh, wait, I just need to tweet this meme because it's a minute old already, and if I don't RT in the next 30 seconds, I might as well not even bother, right? So then I get all involved in some Facebook drama that I can totally mediate, because when I finally look back at the screen, nothing has fucking happened. Mike meets that Two-Face guy we already know he knows, because we saw them working together 20 years ago in Breaking Bad, and then he sprinkles some drugs on a van so they get caught at the border with drugs on them anyway, or something. And then there's that long plot with Saul and his brother. Saul's calling himself Jimmy now, I think, and his brother Chuck, and ugh, here's where the writing is so totally horrible. That guy from Short Circuit 2 just changes his mind every 5 minutes. They're two-dimensional characters in entertainment television, and the writers can't even keep them doing the same thing all the time. I mean, at least the Kardashians are consistent, right?
Nailed it. Also, ha! Daryl, you fell for it!
he trolled you good.
Oh, man. Also, you're old as fuck, dude, if you remember that dude from Short Circuit 2.
Which one's the dude from Short Circuit
2? I don't know, but the fact that he even just name-dropped that makes him just instantly, all of his things instantly goes from...
Yeah, you ruined all your millennial things.
Yeah, goes from dude who's literally only, 3 years older than me to, guy who acts, 12 years older than me. So, yeah, you ruined it, Daryl. You ruined it. Also, haha.
Oh, well, it's fine.
It is. Oh, man. Gus is so scary in this episode.
He's Gus.
Just the fact that he's there is he's so frightening. Oh, my God. He's so scary.
No, you're not going to do that. You can disrupt some more of his structs if you want, but you can't kill him. It's not in my interest.
Yeah.
Okay. why do you want to kill him anyway? I have my reasons. Because he killed that civilian? Frick, how does Gus know everything about it?
Because it's Gus!
Mike's just dang, this guy. This guy.
Yeah, man. Mike has been numero uno the entire show, and now Gus shows up, and it's all right, man.
Crap, that guy's just one step ahead of me.
Always, and he always will be! Spoiler alert, Mike, from future you. He's always going to be one step ahead of you.
Which I guess is why you just decided to work for him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of blackmail or something involved in there. Oh,
maybe.
My God. All right, I loved Kim's gym montage.
I was so confused. I was like, what is this? Kim's montage. Kim got a sweet montage.
Kim got her own gym montage. Good for you, Kim. And hey, guess what? I liked it. Because it was, I don't know, properly edited and paced.
Wake up on the couch, go to the gym, take a shower, get dressed, come back.
Yeah.
I don't actually use the gym, except for the shower.
I'm fairly sure it was insinuated that she did use the gym and came out the other side. I don't know. I took it as that.
Came out clean on the other side.
Yeah, I took it that she actually went to the gym and actually did stuff at the gym. Because
wasn't in the game.
Jimmy making her all sorts of angry. Yeah, I put he wasn't in the game too, in for my quotes.
He is no good, sir.
The look on Jimmy's face when Kim was just like, okay, was brilliant, man. That just kind of shows you, like, how good of an actor he can be without actually saying anything. And again, hey, all right, I'm done beating a dead horse.
Everything in that scene.
Yeah, unlike Daryl.
This whole episode, the acting was just, they nailed it on the acting.
They really did.
I mean, Kim only said, all she said was okay.
Yeah.
But with one word and the way she said it and her facial expression, you knew exactly what was going on there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fine, okay.
So I got confused. Were there like common, like, and I know they're lawyers, I understand that, but right now they're kind of pinching their pennies. Were there common non-CRT monitors in like 2002 or whenever this took place?
I didn't even pay attention to the CRT monitors.
I was still in school, so like I was dealing with the fact that CRT monitors were still everywhere.
Were pretty common still, I think, in 2002.
So
until like 2008.
So the fact that they had
really
those
becoming,
was them actually
flat,
you know,
screens were more affordable and prevalent.
So it was them actually spending money on monitors then, since they were non-CRT, they were flat screens.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were okay. They were the big thick fatty CRT LCDs, but they were still big fatty LCDs.
So yeah, they must have spent some money on this.
Yeah,
2002.
I think we discussed that this happened in like between 2002 and 2005. If I remember correctly, we had that big discussion last year about that.
At some point, I forget, because, you know, it's still flip phones.
Yeah. I'm never going to remember her name. I'm really not. Receptionist lady is just still the absolute.
Francesca.
Dude, I've been talking about this damn show for 4 years now, and I still call Brett Dalton by the wrong name, so.
Her name is Francesca.
Francesca, and the mural was absolutely brilliant. Touched up the edges. He looks over. It's just a downward spot. It's a downward hill. Like, just Jimmy looking like, I don't have time for this right now.
And then the whole repercussions of the event with Chuck.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes, absolutely.
He just goes outside.
Yeah.
Digs out an old pack of cigarettes that he found in his car.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how long they've been there. He's going to have a smoke
doesn't
while
matter.
We wait for the cops.
One smoke.
It's like, you could come inside if you want. No, I'm good. It's like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go to jail. And then, it's like, no, here's what's going to happen. One of these days.
Yeah.
You're going to have another one of these pills.
He's not wrong.
You go to the hospital, and you're going to be all alone.
And the look on alone. Chuck's face was just like, oh.
That line. Ooh. Damn, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I mean, he deserved it, but.
Oh, yeah, man. Damn. Chuck's just the fucking worst, man. Dear God. Ugh. It's so creepy. Like, he's just, oh, yeah. He's like the slimy lawyer, man. And we all thought that it was Hamlin, but no, man. Chuck is just the worst. No.
Hamlin's just a pawn.
Yeah.
He's just a pawn in Chuck's evil game.
Twisted evil game. His own damn brother, man. Like, yeah.
Freaking A.
Jimmy's a schmuck. Nobody's going to argue that. But, like, because you are upset that he is in the profession that you took, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be the best. Burger, 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 burger. You
are a disgrace.
You're
mad. Chimpanzee with machine gun.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you're just as bad now, Chuck.
Yeah.
Because you just conned Jimmy, your own brother.
Yeah.
Screwed him over.
But I think Jimmy, like I said, I think in the next episode, Jimmy's actually going to be like, actually, you know, out-lawyer Chuck a little bit and be like, yeah, this is what happened. I'm going to confess to every single one of these, but because of this, it's entrapment and not allowed in court. That's the reason why he is so hung up on representing himself. He wants to show Chuck up.
I hope so. Maybe fun.
That's my theory. Is that he's just, you know, that's the reason why he wants to represent himself, because he has a plan, because that's what Jimmy does. He plans. I love the doctor scene.
Yes, that was amazing.
Where Mike goes into the doctor's office. I need the package. This big. Like, how many grams? I don't know. This big.
this big.
It was just great.
Which, that was same doctor from Breaking Bad again.
Yes, it was. Again, hand wavy. Yay.
Yeah, hand wavy to that. And I swear the patient that he was seeing at the beginning of that scene was Jesse's girlfriend and little brother. I don't I don't think it was.
No. That was
like
definitely.
I kept looking at it, thinking that it was, but
no. That was
sure
definitely not the bitch in apartment 23.
No, not her. The one that, the one after her.
Oh.
That gets killed by what's his face?
Jesse.
The one that won't.
Girlfriend.
You know, the sociopath guy.
And Breaking Bad.
The one whose little brother that Walt poisons with the.
Yeah, I know Jay Margolis. I need category Jesse's girlfriends in the Breaking Bad wiki. Wow.
Wow, is there a whole wiki page dedicated to this?
Andrea Castillo. One of them is sexy neighbor. season 4, season 5. I'm going to look up this actress and Emily Rios in Better.
This is lifetime research here, people.
It is, because I didn't even think about it. Emily Rios. No, that's not her. Nope.
Yeah. I didn't think so. It's just at the very beginning of the scene, I was like, is that his girlfriend or her little brother?
Nope.
No, it's not. Wait, is it? No. No. No, it's not.
No, it is not.
I'm not sure somebody would have said something if it was.
Yeah, it would have been another thing. I'm kind of glad that it wasn't. I'm kind of glad that it was just random lady taking her.
Yeah.
Taking a kid to the doctor.
Not everyone knows everyone in the Breaking Bad universe.
Yeah.
Albuquerque is a little bit bigger than that.
Yes, no streptococcus. That was great. I love that entire scene. It was
the
really
revenge.
Good. Yeah, the revenge. Which was almost. I was going to, if I would have thought about it and looked at my notes before I was dealing with everything, your name was going to be The Revenge in Espanol. So watching this episode was hard on an early Monday morning. Because so much coffee ever, and I just wanted more coffee.
There was a lot of coffee.
Like, I need coffee, and they keep showing me coffee, and where's my coffee?
And we got little Weasley, district attorney guy back.
Yeah, man.
He was entertaining as all get out.
He so was. Though at the very end, him eating his chips, opening two bags of chips and eating them. It reminded me of Mr. Bean. Like, it's screaming Mr. Bean.
It was very physical comedy.
Yeah. And it was.
Hey, Daryl,
I liked it.
They talked about that on the podcast, too, that guy.
Okay.
It's like he was an awesome prop actor. Like, he did the same thing with the chips on every take. On every single take. It was amazing. We love him.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is so good. Like, I love actors who can do something small like that and just be infinitely noticeable. And you want one? Oh, yeah, sure. And reach over, grab a fry. That screamed improv to me.
Trans fats are the best fats.
that screamed improv to me. Like, that was not scripted at all. That was Bob Odenkirk and dude being like, yeah, we need to do something here. Because I'm fairly sure Saul stares off into distance or something like that, and the two of them, because like Bob Odenkirk is a brilliant actor, I was like, yeah, we should like work something out here.
He eats none of his food.
Yeah.
And he gets kind of dejected because he realizes he's not gonna be getting the facing off against the attorney he was hoping for.
Yeah.
Rather someone who's conflict of interest.
Yeah, man.
At least they got that right.
Oh, I am so excited for episode 4. I really and truly am, man. These last two episodes, like, annihilated all the issues that I had with episode 1. Like I said, my main thing with episode 1 is just that they didn't, I mean, because it's a Gilligan thing, it does it in every single episode. That Gilligan, like, whole pain thing is great when used correctly. I personally, did not like how it was dealt with in episode 1. These ones, I freaking loved. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more of how the Gilligan effect is done correctly when we talk about our other spoiler, or the other shows that I've been watching. So, you know, any other notes on this?
Interesting. The whole shoot thing was good.
Yeah.
How many takes did it take for them to get that shot where the shoes actually land on the wire? Seriously.
Yeah.
How many takes did that take?
Or it could have just been one of those miracles
like
to do it once.
Like, there's no way he got that on the third try.
Or could have just been one of those miracles is... It just happened when they wanted it to happen, which, from what I heard, happened a lot in Breaking Bad. Like, him throwing the pizza up there apparently was a one-take thing. Like,
well, apparently the pizza-throwing thing was, like, it wasn't supposed to land on the roof. He was just supposed to throw it.
Yeah.
But then it landed on the roof, and they were like, we like that. Let's use that. Let's use that one.
Like, this show seems to be, like, some shows are cursed with their effects and it takes them, like, dozens of tries to get. This one apparently just does things accidentally and awesome.
Yeah. They talked about how there's tons of effects in this show that you know nothing about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's the scene with the shoes and stuff. There's no power lines on that road.
Yeah.
Like, all of those are CGI, except for the one he throws the shoes on. They had to build that one.
Oh, man. So I am good on Better Call Saul. You can eat me, yeah. Daryl.
I was upset. I was worried.
Troll it.
Oh,
no,
no, no. Wind up the first episode, okay, fine. But 2 and 3, no way.
No.
There's no friggin' way. Like, I don't even know who you are if you thought these episodes were bad.
No. It was me doing my thing that I do, and apparently it worked. And unlike in the first episode, I know how long to hold a bit, so that's the reason why I dropped it real quick.
But I'm ching.
All right. I want to talk about Samurai Jack. So I got caught back up on Samurai Jack. And last time we spoke about this, I only watched episode 1 and 2 of the new season / last season. And so Samurai Jack is really like United States anime Breaking Bad. Like, it is, it does have a lot, it meets a lot of the same notes, including like holding that scene where nothing happens for just that little bit too long and making it brilliant because stuff is actually happening in the scene where nobody's talking. There's still hardly any dialogue in this because they want to show you everything. And there's a scene in episode 7. Basically what happened last time we spoke about this, I'm going to get my notes correct here. Last time we spoke about this, the Daughters of Aku were after Samurai Jack, and he killed an annoying robot who was a troubadour.
Like you do.
And both those things actually matter. So the Daughters of Aku, except for the lead one, were all killed pretty brutally by Samurai Jack. And this episode deals with, episode 4 deals with him and the lead daughter trying to survive together while he is trying to break her of the brainwashing. And they go through all of the horrible things that this poor girl goes through as a daughter of Aku. And, oh, dude, like, they are brutal. It's hard to describe what all the things that go on through there, but it's man, if this happened in any other show, like, it would be hard to watch, but because it is animated, it's a little bit easier to watch. Like, up to it, including the fact that they took lava coals, like coals they dipped into lava, and painted their bodies black with
E.
Yeah. And they animated the blisters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the amount of detail that they put into this show. I don't remember, like, and I know most of it was because they were robots in the previous episodes, or previous seasons, because it was just on regular old Adult Swim, or on regular old Toonami, but man, Adult Swim gives this a lot of room, and now they're swearing, and, like, they're killing humans now.
Whoa!
Yeah, man.
Okay.
The
Samurai Jack you want, or the Samurai Jack you need?
Yes.
Or both?
Both. and like, they are not afraid to literally rip human. Like, there was one time where the girl eventually becomes, you know, free of her brainwashing because Jack is dealing with the fact that it's been 50 freaking years in this hellscape. All that he's doing is not helping anybody, at least in his view. He's lost his magic sword. He can't get it back, and now he's dealing with this crazy woman who's still trying to kill him. So he gets lost, both spiritually and physically. And this girl, the daughter of Aku, I don't remember her name. They said it like 3 times, still don't remember. But she goes through and meets these people that Jack has helped, not just in this season, but from the entire season. Like, there's a person that she talks to that was in the second episode. And I remember that because, like, I'm like, that guy looks really freaking familiar. And not in this season. I did some research on it. Yeah, he was in the second episode. It's taken them 7 years to pay off his storyline, and they did in 2 minutes, and it was brilliant because the look on this animated girl's face was just heart-wrenching listening to the story of how Jack saved him and his family and his village. Yes, they're all gone now, but he still saved them. And through, like, they went through pretty much every, they had a couple people from season 1, a couple people from season 2, and a few people from season 3 here. That Jack is saved, and eventually she goes and underneath a torrential waterfall And again, and something that if Daryl was actually correct about me, I would hate, but her painstakingly scrubbing off the black that is on her body and cutting her hair slowly because all she can find is a dull rock. And she breaks it off on a cliff face, and that's how she cuts off her. And the entire time is she's crying, and it's just, oh my God. It is brilliant and heart-wrenching and gorgeous. And then we get to episode 7, where, hello, Negers. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Hello, what?
In the Twitch chat. I'm just calling you Niji. That's what I'm going to call you, Niji. So we, crap, I lost my train of thought. We got to episode 7. And so she is in full, like, in a weird Tinkerbell ninja outfit, which is fantastic and gorgeous. And she finds Jack. And the B-plot is that stupid robot Troubadour is not fully dead. And he's trying to tell Aku the fact that Jack doesn't have his magic sword. Because remember, that's the only thing that can actually kill Aku. And so he's going through all of these things, being annoying and being a robot Troubadour. And I'm surprised you didn't. I wrote that one down because I was proud of it, damn it. So we get through that, and we get through a scene where he has to, Jack enters the spirit realm, and he has to exorcise the demons that are within him from, you know, the last 50 years of fighting them before he can be granted back his swords, his energy. We go through a scene where he is in the presence of the Japanese god, but one of the Japanese gods. And basically, it is either you have to pass this test or you're never leaving there. And the test is make the perfect tea. And they go through, and it takes 10 minutes of making tea slowly and methodically and going through every step. Now, normally, this would have bothered me. However, they cut back to Tinkerbell Ninja kicking the crap out and killing a whole army of people to protect this man that she's fallen in love with. So they cut to him painstakingly making this tea, literally grinding up the leaves, making sure heating up the water to the perfect temperature, testing it over and over and over again, doing all of the rituals that Japanese people do with their tea and the proper placement of their steeps and proper placement of the, you know, the leaves and everything like that. 10 minutes to finish that, only for the god to tell him, no, this is wrong. Everything is correct, except there's no balance. And at that point, Jack's like, oh. And then you have his being from episode 1, his being that the beginning of this episode, and now him and his hobo samurai self going on this epic fight. And everybody, like the two people that he's fighting against, the one who is just completely obsessed with killing Aku, and the one who is, you know, obsessed with destroying him because he fucked up. Like, these guys are dressed and drawn drastically different than how Samurai Jack is. And detail going down to the scrunching of temples on Jack as he's trying to figure out a way to himself. And eventually he does, because, you know, he's the protagonist. Be a pretty boring story if he's cut off from life and never seen again.
The end.
Sorry. So
Aku wins.
Yeah, Aku wins. So we are presented with a pretty epic scene where he's up against, well, he's in a area with Odin and Lakshmi, the Indian goddess, Buddha and Jesus, and they all grant him power of each of their abilities. You know, Odin is might and Lakshmi is wisdom. Jesus is patience. And he got another one, and that granted him a, trim and a haircut, 2 bits, and his sword back. And
dun, da, da, da.
He comes out of the trance, and Tinkerbell Ninja Lady is almost dead, and he's able to lean down to her just before she dies, and she's able to wake up finally. And she goes, I like the hair, but I miss the beard. And I'm like, he goes, I know, me too. And I'm like, oh my God, it was so adorable. And that's where we ended episode 7, man. I'm so stoked to see episode 8. Dude, this show is so brilliant.
I need to watch that show.
It is so good.
It sounds right up my alley.
Oh man, it is just, it is brilliant, 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 man. I cannot state how much I can recommend this season of Samurai Jack. If you've never seen it, like, you might be able to find it somewhere, but they do a pretty good job of catching you up on the first couple of episodes.
I mean, I watched, I think, the first two seasons of Samurai Jack back.
Yeah, that's all there was. This is technically only episode three, or season three, because they were really long seasons. Season one and season two were really long. Because that's kind of what they were.
Maybe I only watched season one.
Yeah, you might have only watched season one.
Like two big chunks of stuff, so maybe it was just.
Yeah, that was season
one. Yeah, season one part two.
That's absolutely what it was. Because remember, when this was on there originally, we were still showing shows for VHS releases. So they. It was at the tail end of it, but we still had VHS releases for shows. So they had to. They wrote to. Certain to have it to where they would only have certain amount of episodes on each tape, and then they took those as quote-unquote breaks. So while there were four aired like half seasons, it was only technically two. But oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait for Saturday. I watched all those today, so when I was, you know, at home sick trying not to die. But if you want to email the show, go ahead and do so. geekioshow@gmail.com. make sure you put spoiler show in the subject line. Twitter, Facebook, or both /GeekIOShow. If you want to give us a call, you can. 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Our website, which has everything that you could possibly want and more, is at geek-io.net/spoilershow. Tune into this show and all of our other shows live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/geekioshow. Going forward, that's pretty much where we're going to be doing most of our live stuff at, so make sure that you do, make sure you follow us there to get notifications when we go live with not only our regular shows, but also streams, gaming, and everything like that. If you want to support this show and everything else on the Geek.io network, you can do so at patreon.com/geek.io and geek-io.net/Amazon. We'll take you to our affiliate link where you can get everything that you possibly want off of Amazon. A little bit comes back to us. None of it is increasing your prices at all.
Ring a ding ding. So we have some show titles.
Yeah, we do.
Want to hear them?
Yeah.
My Thingy Is Up for You. Damn you, Rob Dalton.
And your amazing knives.
Sneeze the Knight Rider out of you. I am the one who spoils. Nifty Gun. Harold does backyard parkour. Her name is Francesca. That guy from Short Circuit 2. One of them is Sexy Neighbor, a robot who is also a troubadour. Hot Tinkerbell ninja outfit and make. The perfect tea.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
Her name is Francesca.
Yes, we'll deal with that one. And try harder, Dale. That's all I'm going to say. We'll see you guys next week, most likely on Monday. Unless I get sick again, stupid food poisoning. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.